Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, it's the second half kickoff here. Oh, and it's a touchback because Rodrigo's kicking off. It's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you, and our man Russ Tanner is here as well. Of course, just go to AthensLender.com and you can get all you need from our man Russ. That's Prime Lending.
Yeah, our advertising is working, man. I had somebody tell me last week, could y'all please quit saying AthensLender.com? Like, no, we cannot.
No.
We will annoy you into doing a mortgage.
The fact that you said it means we're going to double it up, man.
Yeah, no. Why would we not say it? Other than like a couple of cheese sticks, that's all that Russ is getting here from being in here with us.
Hey, it's an upgrade over my first few days when y'all pay me in Blind Pig gift cards. Hey, man. People are like, they played you? That's like, look, dog, that's like cash to me.
Say, there's nothing wrong with some Blind Pig gift cards, man. In fact, we paid you in gift cards. David Pollock used to pay you in Chick-fil-A gift cards.
Right.
That's just a thing for you.
Right. And I've got to just and grumble for a little bit about it, but really, it's all good. We'll take it.
Absolutely.
So, hey, I'm a big guy. Russ is a big guy. If you want to pay us in food gift cards, we can handle that.
Buddy of mine last week, he came up. He's like, hey, man, you want to go to lunch today? It's on me. I was like, where are we going? He's like, well, I just found $60 worth of Red Lobster gift cards. I'm like, yes, I do, matter of fact.
There's three men in this room, and none of us are ever going to be accused of not liking to eat this.
Absolutely.
There's no way.
Absolutely.
I mean, the endless shrimp are not that good, but, man, you can eat a bunch of them.
Russ Tanner, always great to have him in here with us. And the dog's getting set to take on Tennessee. And, Russ, so you actually, you're one of the few former players.
Yeah.
Who got to go to Knoxville thrice.
Yeah, three times.
Three times. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you saw good.
Yep.
And good.
Yep.
And good.
Real good.
Yeah, yep. Real good. So you enjoyed your times in Knoxville.
Did I ever lose to Tennessee? Did we lose from 01 to 05?
04 was not...
That was, we don't want to talk about that.
We don't want to talk about
2004. 04. Other than that, yeah, you were so 3-1.
Sweet. 4-1.
4-1.
I'll take the red shirt year. Yeah, it was awesome, man.
All right, so the redshirt year, 2001, the Hobnail Boot game. So tell everybody, so you were basically the emergency center. So you were on the travel squad.
Yeah, so that year, 2001, you know, I was a true freshman, ended up redshirting that year. This was back before they did what they do now, where you can play four games and still redshirt.
But
Kurt McGill was a starting center.
Okay.
And then another group, it was funny, our two
Brookwood
centers
High
were both Brookwood
School.
Guys.
Yeah.
Ian Knight was the backup center. Oh. And then I was the third string emergency center. So, I didn't know what it meant. All I knew is I got to get, like, you know, free pregame meal and travel with the team and all that.
Love it.
Not to sidetrack, did you ever snap the – I mean, did you ever do any, like, long snap or, like, any kind of snapping?
I did in high school.
Okay.
But not here. York. Yeah, I mean, those cats up there, man, like – they're real good.
They're incredible. You know, but
Jordan was our guy.
Oh yeah,
and you know those guys, man. Like that's literally all they do. You know the kickers and specialists. They play duck, duck, goose, and snap and kick. Like that's all they do during practice. So yeah.
But if somebody had gotten hurt in that sense, who would have been the long snapper?
Well, I mean, there's like three or four of those guys. There's usually two that traveled. Big Dan could snap.
Okay.
Daniel Inman.
Right.
His name is officially Big Dan.
Big Dan. And I knew exactly who you were talking about. Yeah. So that's how that works with the snapper.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But so, that wasn't your forte.
But look, man, if you got two snappers that go down in a game, though, like,
that's probably
it's been a bad day.
It's been a bad day anyway. All right. So, like I said, I didn't mean to get you sidetracked.
Yeah.
So you're in Knoxville for the Hobnail Boot game.
Yeah.
And tell us where you had a really good view of that from the sideline.
I did. Yeah. So, you know, it was crazy. Can I back up in my story a second?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Tennessee, it's funny to me when I'll ask you two guys this question. And Logan, don't let me forget to come out of Hobnail Boot.
Okay.
For you guys, there's obviously arguments in the Georgia fan group. Rivals. Who do y'all rank? Give me your top three rivals in order for both of you guys personally.
For me personally,
how do you sort that out? Because rivals for Georgia is a hard thing.
Yeah, I'll say this. Florida, Auburn, and Tech, and they kind of rotate as to who's the worst any given day.
For me, it's Tech. Mm-hmm. Not even close.
Yeah.
And then Florida. And then third could be five different schools.
Right.
So I look at it like this. Here's how I break it down. Maybe I'll help you guys because Georgia fans struggle with a lot of areas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our biggest rival is one of them.
Right.
Because depending on when you started watching Georgia football, mm-hmm. when it was most important to you, where you're from, those things can vary.
Yep.
So I break it down this way. The team that I want to beat the most, that's Florida. because I grew up where we never beat Florida.
Right.
So you wanted to beat Florida. The team I want to lose to the least, that's an easy one amongst Georgia fans. The team you want to lose to the least is who?
Tech. Yes.
And then to me, the third one goes, and this is where you can get some variation, who do you personally dislike the most?
Yeah.
For me, that's Tennessee.
Okay.
People can go through Tennessee, Auburn, South Carolina, whoever it is. Some old guys, they can't stand Clemson.
And I was going to throw Clemson in there.
So you listed all the factors. It's where you're from when you started. What all went into you disliking Tennessee the most?
Excellent question.
Thank
that
you.
Right there is what you call teeing it up. So when I was being recruited, and this, as bad as this is, I can actually sing the entire song of Rocky Top. Part of that is because, at Georgia we played it constantly. But I heard the song growing up, the actual version of Rocky Top. Like, hey, it's kind of catchy. So I could sing it. I had a Tennessee Vols visor.
Oh, no.
When I was like 12 years old.
Wow.
Because I thought it was cool. Yeah. Hey, that's Peyton Manning time, man.
That's true.
I used to be a Florida State fan as a kid before my allegiance kicked in.
I wasn't necessarily
a
fan of them, but I had a hat.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. So,
I understand.
I was getting ready to be recruited, and I'd been offered by, everywhere that I really wanted to be offered from. And Tennessee was recruiting me, but they hadn't offered me yet. And they were telling me, it's like, hey, come to camp before your senior year, like a one-day lineman camp. We want to offer you in person. Like, cool. That's no problem. So we go up there, and you camp. And at those camps, you got 300 kids there. I have 300 kids there. There's probably 10 guys that are going to play college football at the next level. And you can usually spot them, just size and stuff like that out there. So I'm up there, and I camp. And had a good day. I thought performed well overall. And we get done. They're like, all right, man, thanks for coming. Y'all take care. And I was like,
hold up.
What? Nah. And I remember telling my daddy, Big Ed. I was like, Daddy, what? I didn't talk like this. I was like, Daddy, what do you think about them not giving us that offer, man? I don't like this. And my dad's like, well, let's find out. So we went straight to Coach Fulmer, who was the coach at the time. And I said, hey, Coach, just want to be clear. Are you guys offering me or not? You said if I came to camp, you're going to offer me. And he's like, what? They haven't offered you? Get his offer over here. Like somebody's carrying around in their pocket, right? And starts trying to back up. Like,
get the offer, man.
Get that offer over here. Give him his offer. Get over here right now. And they came up, and they're like, yeah, you've got a scholarship. So I was like, man, that's some junk. I just didn't like the way they handled it.
Right.
Then shortly thereafter, they were telling us, look, here's the deal. We're signing one center. I was ranked the number two center in the country. There's a guy from Louisiana named Ben Wilkerson, ended up going to LSU, played in the NFL a long time, number one center in the country. I guess that ranking was justified. Look at our careers. And, they called me and said, hey, Ben's on the hook. He's about to commit. Only one of you gets spotted. If he commits before you do, you're out. I had some back-channel connections with Ben Wilkerson. My high school coach got with his high school coach, and they told him the same thing about me. So I was like, man, that's just dirty.
Come on.
That's not the way you do. So that put a bad taste in my mouth. And then I judge most fan base and dislike by the way that my family was treated when they went. And inevitably, they'll tell you Tennessee was the worst.
Interesting.
With the seats are terrible. They're like 16 inches wide.
Well,
the fans are yelling. Anyways, to answer your question, recruiting issues and the way the family's treated.
Well, thinking back to that era, this is Tennessee coming off of their glory days.
Yeah.
Their glory. So, I mean, I'm sure they were picky. But to your point, though, that's not the way they should have handled that. No. But I imagine that was probably the norm for them, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and it could have been one of their downfalls going into the turn of the century.
So, if your five visits, because you went to Notre Dame, you went to Tennessee, Tennessee wasn't an official.
No, I kicked them out.
I got you.
That was I went to some games up there. But.
Gotcha, but not on an official.
Right.
So you went to Georgia, Florida, Notre Dame,
Clemson, and Georgia Tech,
and. Who did you think, like, who had the best presentation? And, again, I know this was 20 years ago because Florida was
– Yeah.
Who had the best presentation for Russ Tanner? Obviously, Georgia had a good one.
Yeah, well, there's some other factors there.
Yeah.
Georgia did not have a great one because Coach Donnan got fired in the middle of my recruitment.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a different deal.
And that makes it tough.
Mm-hmm. Look, man, I didn't know I was a Georgia boy back then, but I was. There wasn't nothing I could do.
Right.
Like, the good Lord had plans, and I thankfully did.
Were you familiar at all with Coach Richt?
I mean, only because he came from Florida State. They were it.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
2000, 2001. Florida State from the late 90s then. Like, it was so not really.
So you knew his name and you knew
So to answer that question, I knew I wasn't going to Tech. I went to Tech because they were recruiting a guy behind me at Johnson County, and my coach was like, I need you to go there for like, you know, future relationships. Yeah. So I went to Tech. I was like, dang, there ain't a snowball's chance about off to Georgia. I'm going to Georgia Tech.
Good man.
But Atlanta and Wrightsville are so similar. I don't know
they're
why.
They're basically the same.
Yeah, I don't know why you were not
there's more
captivated.
There's more people riding MARTA than there was in my entire
I was
going to
say they both have trains, so there's that. And other than that, that's about it.
So, yeah, I mean, I knew I wasn't going there. I didn't love Clemson. Variety of reasons. I just didn't love it. Florida was cool. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I know fans get mad. My wife gets really ticked when I say it. It's funny, during all my recruiting stuff, everywhere you go, you put on a jersey, you know the places. So there is a picture in our house somewhere in a box of me wearing a Gators jersey. My wife has literally tried to burn it. I was like, you can't burn that. Like, I got one in a Notre Dame jersey, a Florida jersey.
No, that's cool.
It's cool.
That's cool.
So it was cool. And then Notre Dame was awesome, man. It really was. So, you know, they're just 3,000 miles away.
So
I know it's not really 3,000 all you fact checkers, but you get the point.
It was a long way away.
Back to the hobnail
there
boot. That was my job. Back to the hobnail boot. So you had a good view, as Dave alluded to.
Yeah, I was right there. You know, in that game, I mean, it was tight, man. I mean, both teams were playing really well that year. You know, we were obviously – we hadn't at that point – we had done nothing to impress anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, Georgia's coming out of the doldrums of firing a coach. Coach Rick was trying to make his mark. I don't know our record coming into that game, but I feel like we probably lost a game or two because I think we went like 8-4 that year. And Tennessee was still good, man. They had Travis Henry, Travis Stevens, those guys. I think Travis Stevens was their running back that
year. Anyone named Travis that was a running back, they had them and they were good. Yeah,
I remember being scared walking into the stadium because I saw a man named John Henderson who played defensive tackle for Tennessee, and he's the largest human being I've ever seen.
Just real quick, just to allude on the schedule, Georgia had lost to South Carolina. But that was also the 9/11 year where it got really weird with the delayed game. Yeah. Houston got pushed back. So it was an awkward start to the season.
So, you know, we were up there, and Tennessee was still, you know, they were one of the blue bloods still at the time. So the game was back and forth. And, man, they scored. If y'all remember, they hit that screen pass. I think it was to Travis Stevens.
Yep.
And he went, I don't know, 147 yards on that play.
Gut punch, man.
And it was just – I remember
during
that time –
one of their announcers said, who let the dogs out?
Yeah. I remember during that time, I was standing on the sideline. I was standing beside Ben Lowe. Ben Lowe is a backup offensive lineman from Upson Lee is where he went. And Ben used to wear a visor backwards. That's the other thing I remember about Ben Lowe. So we're standing on the sideline.
That's what you do at a rave.
And when that guy hit that screen pass down the sideline. So Neyland is not the most consistently loud stadium we ever played in. But when they get rocking, when it got loud, I remember I was literally a foot and a half, 2 feet from Ben Lowe. I was trying to say something. I was looking at him screaming to the top of my lungs, and he didn't even acknowledge it. Like, it was that loud.
Yeah.
If you're a foot away from a guy yelling, you couldn't hear anything. It's the loudest place I've ever been in.
In 2014, I was on the sidelines doing photography, and I think Colin Barber got a punt blocked or something. And to your point, that's one of the few times you actually had to plug your ears because it hurt. It was loud. Absolutely.
So, you know, that play, I mean, them hillbillies got to rocking.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they were yelling through all their teeth, you know, the ones they had. And it was loud.
No shoes, but that's okay.
You know, so we get the ball back.
When you put a corncob pipe down for a second and start yelling, you can make some noise.
So, you know, they're rocking, man. And we come back and get the ball back. And, you know, this is where you realize, as a Georgia fan, that David Green, like, that cat was all right.
Special.
You know, because he comes in, man. He's not rattled. He's smooth. And we go down and we call, you know, the pass 44 P-44 Haynes is what we called it, where we fake sprint draw. Mm-hmm. And then Veron Haynes was the fullback. He hits the A-gap going towards linebacker like he's going to block him. When that guy bites on that, he slips right past him. You know, and Greeny just put the ball in his hip pocket and turned around like he's, you know, chilling on South Millage Avenue, you know, in the end of July, just hanging out, chilling, about looking around, waving at his mom and them in the stands, and then turns around like he's the most unhurried cat you've ever seen and just drops a dime right on top to Veron Haynes, a 5'10" fullback who was a former walk-on, who's now up there in Neyland Stadium. And when he caught that pass, that little corner of Georgia fans, they were freaking rocking. And I mean, there's no better feeling, by the way, as a college football player. I love playing at Sanford Stadium. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that is special. That's times of my life I'll never, ever have a chance to do again, and I'll never forget. But, man, to go to an a big away game to an opponent stadium, and you make them shove that corn cob pie in their mouth.
That's the PG version.
Shut up.
Yeah.
And yes, your indeed. Fans are rocking. Like, awesome. There's no better feeling.
That's awesome.
And Veron tells the story, too. He was at the Touchdown Club a couple of weeks ago because he tells the story where I think he said when they broke the huddle, Greeny said, you know, he took a quick look. He's like, you're getting the
touchdown.
Ball.
Touchdown. Yeah, here
yeah,
it
you're,
is.
Yeah. So Veron's like, oh, my God, I got to catch this.
Because he knew because we'd been pounding, man.
Yeah.
We'd been playing hard.
Yeah.
And their safeties had walked up. You know, the ball was down inside. I don't know. We were like around the 10 or 12 yard line, if memory serves correct.
I'm curious, on the sideline for you, because you're not in the game at the time, do you know what play is called?
No.
Or is that just from the coaches to the huddle to that?
Yeah, I mean, so what ends up happening, the backup quarterbacks have headsets on because they're helping signal it in.
Sure.
And we knew pass 44 Haynes was something we'd repped all week. And that was, when you call pass 44 Haynes, like, it is a very specific play.
Right.
And it's something where the coaches up top watch the entire time how the defense responds to what you're doing. And when you get down there and it's, man, y'all, I almost say too many things you're not allowed to say when it's get it time.
Yeah.
We'll just say that.
G-A-T-A time.
Yeah, when it's time to G-A-T-A. You know, we knew we'd been pounding, and, you know, the defense, man, like, they're rocking too. Tennessee's playing hard at that point, and they're trying to come downhill and smoke you. You know, same thing. You're trying to smoke them. And we'd been running the ball, and they're ready for it. We hit them with that little play action, and they bit so hard when that safety bit up. Like, Greeny knew. Like, before he turns his back to him, he's got his eyes on that safety. When he sees him step downhill, he turns his back to him, and he's thinking – touchdown.
That adrenaline rush had to
be. That's what Veron said. He's like, I knew the ball was coming my way, and I better not drop it.
Yep. And then that was what I got to see. I got to see in the locker room after the game, I got to see the one and only legendary Vince Dooley drop it like it's hot
love
in the
it.
Locker room.
Love it. Back up just a little bit before the P-44 Haynes call, because a lot of people may forget that Tennessee came out and squib kicked.
Yeah.
And gave Georgia some pretty darn good field position, but then also Randy McMichael, a couple of unbelievable catches to get Georgia in there. When did it start to feel like, oh, my God, we actually have a chance to come back and make this thing happen?
After one or two first downs.
Yeah.
You know, you get the ball back, you know, squib kick, good field position, you know, and then Greeny's cool, man. Like, he just didn't get, you know, he didn't get rattled, didn't get upset. And, you know, you give the ball to Randy Mack. Like, Randy McMichael, that's a scary man.
Yes.
Like, he's awesome, man. He's one of the coolest dudes you ever be around. But, like, in the football field and stuff, like, Randy McMichael is scary. You know?
Yeah.
And when he decides to go get it, like, he's going to go get it. And I remember games like that, like, Randy Mack comes out, and he's in the locker room before, like, about to get paid. Like, what? He's like, you know, those little French, like, excuse me, Mr. McMichael, what are you saying? Like, boy, shut up, about to get paid. You know, that means if the ball's near him, Randy McMichael's going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So go back. I wish we need to cut up a Randy Mack highlights because he did his one-handers over the middle, wasn't scared. And, man, when he made a catch too like that, like, confidence starts to build. And momentum is such a crazy thing. So Tennessee had it, man. You know, and thank God for the squib kick, because if they'd kicked it deep, we got to go 80 yards. That's a different ballgame.
Squib kick. Oh,
I don't want to outlaw. I don't mean to bring this down. It's eerily similar to 2016. We
just
took a late lead and we squib kicked, and we know what happened after that. Anyway, sorry about
let's
that.
Just, I know. Exactly. Against Notre Dame.
Let's bring it back to a happy place. Another memory I wanted to talk about, the Sean Jones fumble, which that was your game as well.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. I mean,
yes, that was 2003. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite away game that I've ever played in, by the way.
Oh, by the way, one note. People got to remember, when Georgia won in 01, the Hobnail Boot game, that was the first time Georgia had won in Knoxville since 1980.
Yeah.
And I know they didn't play every year, but the 90s had been so rough.
It was a big deal.
But it was a huge deal. Georgia hadn't won in Knoxville since 1980. So anyway, then the 03.
Yeah, and a conversation we had a lot during the early years of Coach Rick was the idea about knocking the glass ceiling off the program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a cap on how good we could be. And we got to do something to bust through. So that Hobnail Boot game was it for us. That's the one that kind of put us on the map and made us think, hey, all right, this coaching staff, if, you know, give them time, do what we're supposed to do. Like, we've got a shot to be really good with them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what was the question? Oh, 03?
Yeah, just you said it was your favorite away game you ever played in.
Yeah. So, you know, that year, 2003 was the first year that kind of my group of guys were the ones actually playing. Scary times thinking back. Like, I was the most senior offensive lineman on the team. I was a redshirt sophomore. I was the oldest offensive lineman on the team. Redshirt sophomore.
Redshirt sophomore.
You know, it's me, you know, Josh Brock, Bartley Miller, Max Gene, Big Dan, Dennis Rowland, you know, we were the guys playing. And we, you know.
Y'all had a stat similar to Pollock's number.
It was bad. Quit bringing up old jump, man. Come on, I'm tired of y'all already.
We're about to talk about a good fumble return here.
So, but, you know, we come into that game and, like, we'd won the SEC in 02. It had been really good. So that year we come in, and I actually watched part of the game last night because it's on YouTube.
But our buddy John Alexander put it out there for you.
So we were ranked 10, Tennessee was 14. And that's the game. Casey Clawson was our quarterback, one of the biggest pricks in the history of college football. And he had a quote. He had a quote in the paper and said, Dave's making the motion. Yep. I can beat Georgia one hand tied behind my back. So my roommate was a guy, as we've talked about before, named David Pollock. And, like, sometimes we overblow, like, locker, you know, like bulletin board material and say, oh, they're just getting it fired up. They don't really care. Sometimes they don't care. But I'm going to tell you, Pollock took that crap personal. So he comes to that game. You watch that. Like, he dominated. So it's 13-7. We're up. We're going in. They're driving in at halftime. Get down to, like, the 7-yard line. If you go back and watch that play, speaking of Pollock, if you watch that play, he submarined the guy because it's third down. The ball's on, like, the 3 or 4 yard line with 7 seconds to go. They got a timeout left. So they were going to, yeah, I guess, run the ball. And Pollock submarined his guy, basically dove under him, got back up in the backfield before the handoff happened. And basically distracted him. Well, that's why they dropped the ball. So they dropped it. And, you know, somebody tried to jump on it, squirt it out. You know, my man Sean Jones picks it up. And, I mean, you know, it's like that old.
The rest is history.
Could have pulled the Bo Jackson and just run right into the locker room almost.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the old country song about the caravan or whatever. You know, it was just rolling because you watch it.
Eastbound and down, baby.
You talk about special times in Georgia football defense, by the way. Sean Jones going down the sideline, and the three guys chasing him are Odell Thurman, Thomas Davis, and David Pollock. Greg Blue, you know, there's some
man, that
studs.
Is
that's some protection right there. Absolutely. Wow.
So, you know, he goes in, and, you know, I'm looking at it now. I'm glad he didn't throw a penalty because he kind of hit the Dion on him at the end. Like, he held the ball up beside him, got in his own, like, flicked it off in the air.
That may have been the birth of the surrender cobra, because I remember I was in the basement watching with some buddies, and then they immediately went to Tennessee fans and they are just, you know,
it's
absolutely
bad. Yeah.
So just, it was horrible for them. It was a gut punch, and you guys rode the momentum right into the second half.
Worst case for them, they're going to kick a field goal and be 13-10. You know, they're getting the ball second half, feeling good about it. You know, best case, they're going to be up 14-13, and they fumbled it, and Sean Jay went 96 to the house. And, you know, man, that second half, we come out, and the second half of that football game is the biggest beatdown I've ever been a part of in a game that I was able to actually play in. I mean, we absolutely dominated.
Fumble return just stunned them, and then you tell the story about Coach Callaway and what he told you guys.
We come out second half, like, we're going to run the ball, and then we're going to, you know what, we might not even huddle. We're going to line up at the plate, and we're going to call power right. We're going to call 24. That's what we're going to do. Then we're going to line back up, and we're going to run power left. If they don't like it, they can.
I was going to say, how many expletives are you leaving out
this
right
is,
now?
This is the radio version.
And, you know, that was the time, like, it was funny, if you rewatch the ESPN replay, Bill Curry was watching, was announcing the game, and he was like, in the halftime, they cut to us and he said, hey, these three young guys in the middle, you know, Coach Callaway said, those guys in the middle, Tanner, Brock, and Miller, they got to play better. Bottom line, and Callaway challenged us. He really challenged the O-line. It's like, you know, this is, you know, we're going to see if y'all are here or not. And we did, man. We just put it down their throat. They turned the ball over a few more times. But, you know, you had Michael Cooper had the ball. Craig Lumpkin had the frog jump into the end zone. Tyson Browning had a coming out party where he was making people miss.
You got me wanting to dial this thing up and watch all of it right now. So,
yeah,
which I made this afternoon.
And then they started packing that up, and, you know, Greeny gives the ball to the greatest athlete on the team we played with, Reggie Brown, and just, you know, I think we scored 21 points in the third quarter, and it was just
wow.
It was an absolute beatdown.
Who were the tackles again?
Max Gene, Dan, and Dennis Rowland.
Gotcha. Okay.
Those three guys rotated. Gotcha.
I love that, man. That is awesome stuff. And you're
Tanner's fired up, baby.
You just take the will. I mean, just impose your will on them, and there was nothing they could do.
They weren't. I mean, by the start of the fourth quarter, they had a defense tackle, big Samoan named JP Mapu. And we were just talking to him before the game, and, like, we'd run a play, and, like, man, where are you from? Like, I'm from Hawaii. He said, hut. We'd run the play.
Before the break here, you say it's like your favorite game you've played, away game. Do you, how nostalgic are you in terms of, like, Do you have your gloves from that game or anything, little memento from that night that you kind of keep in a box or even on a display somewhere?
Nah.
Or just all, everything just kind of bleeds in together?
Yeah.
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 I feel it.
Yeah. I mean, when you're 20 years old, yeah. You're not like, man, I should keep this
so you didn't.
Sweatband. Yeah.
Or so, get part of the turf.
Yeah. Nah, none of that.
No Ben Jones, Ben Jones grass.
That turf would be a bugaboo for us later eventually. On. But anyway, do you remember that turf being bad?
I don't know.
No.
When you're beating somebody that you don't care. Yeah. Let's go outside and park.
No
one
tore an ACL.
Go out there and play a little bit. Because right now, y'all are on your backs.
Yeah. Great stuff. Russ Tanner here in the house with us. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, talk more about the Dogs and Tennessee and anything else that might come up. It's 8:30.
Check out the Rover of the Week on 960theref.com. Meet your new best friend. Brought to you by Acura of Athens, helping stray dogs find forever homes.
Jabari fumbled, and we dive on the ball, and we pick it up. We got a man running on the 20, the 25, the 30 run. He's got blockers behind him, the 40, the 30. Sean Jones going all the way. Sean Jones all the way. Oh, picked up a fumble and ran about 95 yards, and he had six blocks.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome back in the morning show. That's the way to get the 8:30 segment started. A little Larry Munson calling some Sean Jones fumble return. Great stories by our man Russ Tanner, as always, who's in studio with us, as he so graciously is every Friday football season. I'm Logan, that's Dave. It's the morning show, 960 The Ref. It is presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Just get your blood flowing, man. I could tell you were getting fired up last segment, too, just talking about it, Russ.
It's awesome, man.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this real quick, because when you were playing Tennessee in the years you were there, and thank God 4-1 against those guys, typically every single year, Tennessee was a ranked team. They may not have been their 90s version of themselves, but they were still a very good team.
Yeah, yeah.
Today, there's a lot of young Georgia fans that don't really grasp that Tennessee used to be a really good team. I've used the analogy, and maybe this is fair or not, that think about last season when Georgia was on the cusp of getting into that playoff. Oklahoma got the nod. Hypothetical, for sake of conversation, let's pretend that Tennessee was number 7 as opposed to a wretched team when we beat them. Are we missing something from this rivalry with them not being ranked, or do we need to cherish these days every chance we get of them being down and out?
No, I don't cherish it. I mean, it's, you know, I like seeing them lose.
Of course.
Don't get me wrong.
But there's something about that top 10 matchup, Georgia-Tennessee, it's missing a little bit.
I mean, and like a game like tomorrow for Georgia fans, like, there's not a lot of upside for us playing them when they're down.
Right.
You know, because now I don't think Tennessee is as talented as they've been in the past. There is a talent issue up there just from their roster, but they've still got really good players. I mean, you know, they have better players than – we ain't playing Murray State. You know, we ain't playing, you know, the Sisters of the Poor. They've played like that a little bit this year, but they've got guys that are talented. And at some point, they're going to play better than they've played so far this year. I don't think Tennessee is as bad as their record shows. You know, and especially they're talking about maybe
Guarantano.
I always call him Guantanamo.
How do you say it, Logan?
Yeah, Guarantano.
I know. I say Guantanamo.
The Tennessee guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, there's talk about maybe letting the other cat in, and maybe he's a little bit better. I don't know. So there's not a lot of upside to that, because if you go in and beat them, I mean, we're 24. Is it 24?
24
point favorites. I mean, that's, you know, if you lose by less than that, like, Georgia fans were disappointed that we didn't beat a top 10 ranked Notre Dame by more. Because you get all these expectations about what it is, and then you just, you know, there's nothing but disappointment if you don't blow them out.
Yeah.
I like it, man, when it's big games. You know, you go in, the nerves are up, you know, you're ready to roll. You've got to prepare the right way. You got to be on point. You know, the fans feel like they got to do all their superstitions the right way to get ready for it. Like, the momentum builds around big games, and that's what you go to play for. The games like Notre Dame are why you go to places like Georgia. You want to be under the lights, national spotlight, big time, games that really matter. You know, for Georgia, a game like this tomorrow, like, it is big time. Don't get me wrong. If we lose to Tennessee,
our
playoff chances are almost done. I mean, you got to win out and win the SEC to even have a shot at it.
It would be a bad loss.
It'd be a terrible loss. I guess that's where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
And unless you blow them out, it's not considered a good win.
Right.
So I don't like that. I'd rather them be good. I want the teams we play to be strong.
Sure.
And then I want to beat them.
Except for Tech.
Yeah.
We're fine with Tech being bad.
They can be terrible.
There you go.
And they are. Yeah. Yes. But it's so weird to think that – Georgia in this month will play three games against Tennessee, Kentucky, and South Carolina. It'll probably be a cumulative, cumulative, easy for me to say, 90 to 100 point favorite in these three games.
Well, the stat that I dug up earlier this week, I was blown away when I realized it, that Saturday night will be the 12th time in 13 seasons that Tennessee will not be ranked when Georgia plays them. Tell them that in the 90s, they would have slapped you in the face.
Right.
Yeah.
It's incredible how much they've fallen.
The last 10 years, their conference win totals are essentially the same as Vandy and Kentucky. That's what they've been, Vandy and Kentucky. Yep. But they're Tennessee.
They're Tennessee.
Yeah, that's
they've got the pedigree.
Yeah.
It's in their blood.
Yeah.
I mean, they can be good, and eventually they're going to turn it around. You know, does it happen under Pruitt or does it happen somewhere? I don't know. They've been in the doldrums for a long time. But it will get turned around.
Right.
Maybe he's the guy that maybe restocks the talent a little bit, and then the next coach is the one that comes
You know, at some point, these teams break out. They're talking about they're in the doldrums. They got to, you know, knock the glass ceiling off the program, put themselves on the map, get a little bit of confidence in there. Mm-hmm. Like, Tennessee lacks confidence. That's what they lack. If they have a good – if the game starts going their way, they make a play, the ball bounces towards them one time, and they get up on us and think, hey, you know what? These guys barely beat Notre Dame. Now we're with them. We can play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, confidence is crazy, man. So, yeah. I'd rather to go back to your question, I'd rather them be good and then beat them.
I have mixed feelings. I really do, because I miss that top matchup. And to your point, it's a good one, is that there's a lot more to play for, a lot more benefits of beating a highly ranked team, as opposed to, like you said, if you don't blow them out, it's not a good win.
Yeah.
So, who knows? Coming off the bye week, which George is doing right now, back in your days, what did you do during the bye week? Was it a welcome break, or were you just itching to play football? And what I know, that was a dumb question, but what did you work on?
Bye weeks are the best.
I know.
The players.
How did you use the bye week or the team, the coaching, to get you ready for that next game to just kind of act like you didn't skip a beat?
So, are we giving honest answers here? We say what?
Radio-friendly answers.
Everything's radio-friendly with this one. The season, college football is a grind.
Yeah.
It's even more of a grind now for these cats than it was for us.
And by the way, the fans forget that they think the season starts on the first week. You know, you have that tendency to think, oh, the season started at the beginning of September. It's like, no.
Season starts in February.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, from February on, the only month you get quote unquote off is like 3 weeks in May.
Yeah.
You know, and now some of those guys come back from Maymester. Mm-hmm. You know, we used to take that time off pretty much. But I mean, you're grinding, man. You know, you start the end of July with camp, you know, and camp and practice and all that leading up to when it starts is terrible. August is a bad month to be a college football player. And then, you know, having to emotionally get ready.
Especially in Georgia.
Like, yeah, emotionally get ready for all these cats you play against. You know, fans like, I want these guys dialed in all the time, 100% focused on football. If that's you, like if you're that guy, like do you show up every day in your accountant job thinking, I'm going to crunch these numbers like nobody's ever crunched them before? I mean,
no,
if you're
talking
Georgia
football.
Man, I'm going to put these nails in the straightest line you've ever seen. Like, no, some days you do the job, you try to get through it. You're ready for the break.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, what happens is on that day, you know, on that week, you practice. It's usually a little bit of a lighter schedule. You have a hard day earlier
in the
week.
I'm
going to
lend better than I've ever lended before today.
We're going to mortgage like you've never mortgaged before. That's what we're going to do. Get on the phone. Hello, what's your rate? I got you, dog.
We just recorded the new commercial for Russ's.
That's right.
That's going to be on there.
What's your rate? I got you, dog. Yeah. No, that ain't what we do. Like, sometimes we just check the box, man. Then you need a break. People got mad because Jake Fromm went fishing a few years ago. Man, your high horse. Don't even got legs. It ain't going nowhere. Like you think. So no, I mean you're waiting for it, man. And like when that Thursday breaks, like if you ain't got something on Friday, I mean the truck is packed, the gas is in it. And you tell Coach Casey, who used to hide in the bushes to do class checking stuff for us, wearing a members only jacket when it's 98 degrees outside. You like, look, man, I'll run Monday. I ain't coming tomorrow. Like, you are not going to see me in statistics at 8 o'clock in the morning. It ain't happening. Well, what about your geology test? I don't even know how to spell geology right now. Like, I'm trying to go. So, I mean, yeah, as soon as you can break and get out of there, man, you got to.
I totally understand.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go home. You know, mama has supper waiting for you. Eat with your grandma the next day. Go to a little high school football. Everybody goes to say, oh, look. Hey, there he is. That boy plays in Georgia right now. Yeah, I do.
I love that. You're honest. You're owning it. I would do the same thing.
Well, I mean, you've been beat down for so much of the time. And it's
you
just
deserve
such
it.
A grind.
You've
I think that's like
it.
When the NFL guys come back. They, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
They love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. Get to go out in the field and – They announce her name, and would too.
By the way, whoever is in charge of getting the old guys on the field to like the crowd away from them, like, look, man, your boy's available. Like, I don't know. It's embarrassing to the kids. Like, Daddy, why don't you ever go on the field? Shut up. Like, you'll learn one day, kid. Like, well, that Champ Bailey guy's down there. You see that jacket he's got on? Like,
yeah,
he gets to go anywhere he wants to. Right.
I got good news for you, Russ. I know exactly who's in charge of that, and I'm buddy. So let me work on that for you.
We'll work on that.
Got you covered.
So, anyways, we got way off track. But no, all weeks are good, man. You come back, you're excited about what you're doing the next day. So,
Let's talk a little bit about this Tennessee team. I've said all week and pretty much all year, you know, Georgia's a huge favorite. I've watched Tennessee enough to think they're not going to, they score? The only way they're going to score, I mean, if Georgia scores a touchdown and Rodrigo kicks it off and they're starting on the 25,
and they're going to have a hard time.
Getting points.
Their quarterback play is subpar.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's being kind.
Yeah.
You know, Guarantano.
The quarterback whisperer hasn't whispered yet.
Yeah, Guarantano has just not done a good job for them so far. And at this point, you don't expect him to be the breakout cat. Like, the sample size is pretty large on him. You know, you got a lot of tape. You've seen what he is, what he does. And unless he's got to play out of his mind for them to have a shot.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching – when College Game was here last week, they were talking to Pollock, and he said, you know, for Notre Dame to have a shot, Ian Book's got to ball out. Well, guess what?
He balled out.
Ian Book balled out, and they played really close. Like, Guarantano has got to ball out and do something special and not make mistakes and all that because, you know, otherwise, if they're not able to throw the ball – if we're able to put our guys up there and just stuff the run, like, they're going to struggle.
Yeah.
So, you know, Tennessee's young, man. I saw a stat last night. I think they've got 5 or 6 true freshman starters. That's like, there's 3 or 4 teams in the country with that many. So they've got a lot of young cats in there playing, and they're just trying to figure out who they are right now.
They also had, 3 guys leaving the transfer portal since the Florida loss. I mean, their attrition is something they don't even know yet how bad it's going to be. I know that kid, I think his name was the only one that was a real contributor, but he's gone. That's a big deal for Tennessee. So, yeah, Georgia should.
And it's weird, too, because at that position, I believe, you know, with the stuff we saw this week with Banks and his, you know, his fun in the patrol car. But, you know, he was a running back for them last year. And they moved him over to linebacker and get into all that stuff. But, you know, it is certainly interesting to see where Tennessee is now.
And knowing where they're at coming to the game tomorrow, like, I'll just tell you straight up. They don't think they can beat Georgia. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't. Right. Their players don't think it. They would never say that.
They know the point spread, right?
Yeah. They don't think they can beat Georgia.
I was a guest on someone I know that does Knoxville radio just like we do, and their segment on Tuesday, they were basically throwing a funeral for themselves already.
Yeah.
I do it every year with them, and I've never seen them this down, and this assuming that it's going to be a bloodbath.
You're going in like, you know, they've unzipped the top of their jacket, their chin's up, their neck is sitting there waiting for you to put your foot on it.
Yeah.
And guess what? If you don't put your foot on it early and they bounce around a little, like, huh, I mean, maybe we can play with them. You know, if we throw a pick six, we fumble the ball, we have another punt that we drop on the 8-yard line.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's got to happen.
And they think they could play, it's a chance. But if we come out early and confirm the fact in their hillbilly minds that we are a better football team physically, from a coaching standpoint, from what we do, and we pound that rock and put them in a hole, they will crumble. That's just where they're at. Their psyche is very weak right now. So I think a fast start for our boys tomorrow is going to be huge.
I think so, too. And for Tennessee, they got to shorten the game. I mean, this is not any kind of brain surgery. They've got to be able to hit a few third downs.
Yeah,
they got to be able to keep the ball a little bit.
What about the kickoff time? 7:00, it's a primetime game. I know they're not high on their chances, but does that add any juice to Tennessee at all, being that it's under the lights of Neyland?
Their fans should be good. Yeah. I mean, you know, all this junk. By the way, let's quit talking about checkerboard and Neyland Stadium.
Thank you. I'm 100% on board with what
you just
said. I'm
totally not on board with that.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Point blank.
It's not going to happen. And honestly, man, it's disrespectful to a place with as much tradition as Tennessee does. Like, you know.
I agree with
you. Like, let's show up and enforce and do it, but to try to use their tradition to mock them.
I've been trying to say that all week.
That's something that Georgia Tech people would do. Like, let's not talk about that anymore.
Amen.
I'm off my soapbox. If you're for it, man, I'm sorry. Me and you can still be friends, but I don't want to do that. But their fans should show up, and they should be ready.
Yeah.
I mean, if nothing else, they're going to be drunk.
They'll be sauced up.
There's a lot of moonshine in Tennessee.
I don't know how much you've tailgated at Tennessee, but I'll give it respect. It's a fun scene.
Yeah.
The banks of the Tennessee River gets a little crazy.
So they're going to rock, man.
Yeah.
They're ready for a big game. They, you know, it's a party. So you know, I think there'll be a little bit of extra juice for him in the stands.
We'll come back and wrap things up here, the 8 o'clock hour, with Russ Tanner from Prime Lending and AthensLender.com. Did I mention AthensLender.com?
What's your rate? We got you, dog.
I love that. I'm bringing it every day. Russ does bring it every day. AthensLender.com.
Two claps and Ric Flair as soon as I enter the office.
Woo! By the way, when Logan mentioned, we were talking about Ronald Acuna. It's like Ronald Acuna likes Ronald Acuna.
Yes, he does.
Ric Flair loves being Ric Flair.
Hey, I got a picture with the Nature Boy. That's good awesome. With me.
The Nate. Yes, indeed. All right, it's 8:50. All right, back here on the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. Russ Tanner, former Georgia center. And all around pretty good guy.
And soon to be introduced on Sanford Stadium's field during a game.
We're working on it. It's going to happen.
I don't know why that hadn't happened before. What's been going on with that? Also, Russ brings it every day. So if you head to AthensLender.com, you will find that out. He has no games against UAB in his professional life.
That is true.
He doesn't have Murray State on his schedule.
I'm just excited that I've got a sound bite I'm going to add to my soundboard over here, and it's going to be Russ telling you he brings it every day.
I know. I knew that anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm glad everybody else is getting to find out. All right, so we've only got a couple of minutes. Yeah. I know it's probably like a little bit of a broken record about what the dog's got to do tomorrow.
Yeah,
night.
It's the same thing. Take care of the ball, be better than they are. And eventually it's kind of like this. So when I was being recruited, 99-2000, we went to a game up there. So had to be, I guess, 99 because 2000 would have been in Athens. And we leave Knoxville after it was a night game. And for those of you who have gone, like, there's not many places that are worse to get out of, by the way, than Knoxville, Tennessee. Because it's basically one way out. It's right down the interstate coming back towards Chattanooga to get to Atlanta. And Big Ed was driving. We were driving this old school Suburban we had. We bought it just to be able to go to games in because we needed space. And it was that long wheelbase ride smooth. That's what we heard. So, you know, we'd been sitting on the interstate for about an hour and a half. We'd gone about a quarter of a mile.
Ugh.
You know where it's going. We come up to this road sign. It's like, highway such and such south. We saw it about a quarter mile away. Finally, 30 minutes later, we get there. No end in sight. I'm like, I know one thing. Wrightsville, Georgia, south of here. We're taking this road home. And we got on it. We went from Knoxville, Tennessee to Wrightsville via South Carolina. So, you know.
And I'm sure it was quicker.
For the dogs tomorrow, man, like, you got to take care of business and get back south.
Yeah.
You know, this is a game we should win. We should play well. We should be rested, and we should execute. You know, the running game's got to show up. The offensive line's got to do well. Keep Jake Fromm upright. And then, you know, maybe some of these receivers keep doing what they're doing. You know, the receivers have been a bright spot when you give them a chance. You know, George Pickens, Dominic Blaylock, these young guys.
Yeah.
But then also your older guys, too. Demetrius Robertson's played well. Tyler Simmons has played well. So you've got playmakers. Like, yeah. Like,
Cager.
Give up Cager, man.
Yeah.
He's a baller.
Yeah.
Like, let these cats go out there and eat. You know, if we can shut them down – from an offensive standpoint, not let them be a balanced attack where we got to defend the run in the pass, like we're going to smoke them. But you got to get up there. You got to look for your opportunities early, and then put your foot on their throat, man. Hobnail boot them early.
There you go.
And then let's bring it back south.
And I endorse any game plan that says let them eat. Yes, so that's all good.
We
right
all
there.
Do. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So you know we're excited, man. We're you know the Tanner clan will be watching it. We'll be rocking and rolling, and you know hopefully we'll get ready for next week.
For like 20 seconds, we got a Pee Wee football update.
Oh, baby. Big one this week. We got the Eastside Dolphins. So they are undefeated.
Who are better than the Miami Dolphins, by the way.
They've got more wins.
Yeah, yeah they're real good. But we've worked on our passing game. We got a play in the end called Sneaky Snake. So, you know, between Sneaky Snake and Titan Special, I think we got
Look
something
out.
For the Dolphins.
I love
All right.
it.
We'll get an update on that next week. Russ, always great to see you, my man. Appreciate that. Russ Tanner, of course, it's AthensLender.com, where he brings it. Every single week. It's 8:57.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.